This is the beginning of the film Cat in the Hot Tin Roof, and we're going to focus on the character of Maggie. I'm going to underline 5 points in particular. Number one, Maggie's body. Well, in fact, in the film, it's Elizabeth Taylor's body, and she is gorgeous. Wow, what an actress, what a woman. She's much more than a pin-up. She's got style, she's got grace. Contrary to her sister-in-law, May, who is pregnant and who is not so attractive. And that's very important because immediately the spectators feel certain sympathy with Maggie. We are definitely under her charm, and maybe that's partly due to the physical attraction she causes. Number two, Maggie's voice. Well, her voice is continuous. She is speaking continuously and repeatedly, and it's almost musical. Take a look at the script. Line 12. Maggie has a liturgical chant. So a chant is a way to speak and sing in the same time. Still in the script, at line 81, her voice is described as having range and music. And this particular performance of the actress is quite important because it makes her lively, it makes her vivid. The way she speaks is full of life in a certain way. Besides, this is quite characteristic of female parts in Tennessee Williams' drama. A similar way of speaking can be heard in the character of Blanche in another play by Tennessee Williams called A Streetcar Named Desire. So this characteristic, this chanting voice, appears to be a memory of his mother. Apparently, Tennessee Williams' mother had this particular way of speaking, and it could be related to his memory as a child of his mother's voice. Number three, Maggie's speech. Well, she is constantly speaking. In fact, she never actually stops speaking, whereas Brick, on the contrary, is quite mute or even absent in a certain way. He just asks her questions like, excuse me, I didn't hear what you said, or, oh, really, do you think so, etc., just as to keep her speaking. Well, in a certain way, she speaks because Brick refuses to actually converse with her. And so her voice, her beautiful, magical, chanting voice actually flows all over the scene and fills in the silence, as if silence was unbearable for her and for Brick. In a certain way, she is all the more talkative and lively, as he is silent and sad. Number four, Maggie's message. What is she speaking about? Well, she's informing Brick, her husband, that his father, called Big Daddy in the play, is going to die of cancer. Well, it's not a big surprise for Brick, because they expected that, but now it's official. She got the medical report. So that's the main piece of information in the passage. Big Daddy is going to die soon. And this is going to pose the problem of the future inheritance. And Maggie's got an opinion about that. So this leads us to point number five, Maggie's opinion. She is convinced that her brother and sister-in-law, Gooper and May, will try to push Brick out of the inheritance, to cut him out of the estate, of his father's estate. And that's written on line 65. The problem is that Gooper and May had 5 children, and number 6 is coming up, whereas Maggie and Brick are childless. And this is going to make a difference in the balance, because Gooper and May are able to continue the family dynasty and continue the family story, whereas Brick and Maggie cannot do that, because they haven't got any children yet. So Maggie is worried that Big Daddy might cross her husband off his last will and testament.